Well, you may be seated. From this time in our service, and really for the remainder of the service, we're going to want everybody to have a copy of God's Word in front of them so they can follow along. So there are going to be some men coming down the aisles. If you do not have a Bible, go ahead and put your hand up, and they will make sure to get you one so you can follow along with us this morning. Once you have your Bibles, if you would begin opening to the 53rd chapter of your Bibles, that is Exodus 3. Exodus 3 we'll be looking at this morning. This is just a time in our service where we're going to be partaking of the Lord's Supper. This is a celebration, a remembrance, where we take some store-bought juice and a gluten-free cracker as symbols of what Jesus accomplished on the cross for his church. And this is a special time for those who are believers in Christ to remember the Lord's death. And so we would invite you, even if this is not your church home, if you are a follower of Christ, this is for you this morning. If you're not a follower of Jesus Christ in this way, we're thrilled you're here. The great best thing for you this morning would be to listen and then to follow along as we read from God's Word. And then I'll give some additional instruction in a few minutes. Well, if you're in Exodus 3, we will begin reading in verse 13. Exodus 3, verse 13. And we'll read verses 13 through 15. Then Moses said to God, "Behold, I am about to come to the sons of Israel, and I will say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you.' And they'll say to me, 'What is his name?' What shall I say to them?" And God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And he said, "Thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, 'I am has sent me to you.'" And God furthermore said to Moses, "Thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, 'Yahweh, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial name from generation to generation." Well, notice in verse 14, when Moses asked God, "What is his name?" he says, "I am who I am." Eya Asa Eya. You can hear the connection of Eya. It sounds similar to Yahweh. This name, which emphasizes the existence of God, who wasn't created, had no beginning, who simply is. And this name can only be used of God. It's connected to the name Yahweh, and we can see that connection even without knowing Hebrew in this text. In verse 14, we read him tell the sons of Israel, "I am has sent me to you." And in verse 15, we read, "Say to the sons of Israel, Yahweh has sent me to you." And we see some of the significance of this name that emphasizes the timeless existence of God in verse 15. Read, "This is my name forever, and this is my memorial name from generation to generation." God tells Moses and the people of Israel, "This is the name you will remember me by forever, the name that I have forever. I am who I am. I am Yahweh." And this name, "I am," if you were to be a first century Jew, perhaps reading a Greek translation of the Bible, would have read that statement as "I am," or "ego eimi," "I am." And they understood the meaning of that name, "ego eimi." Well, if we can turn our Bibles to the passage that we read together this morning, John 18, we'll just look briefly at that passage again this morning. John 18, and we will focus our attention on verse 5. And as you're looking down to verse 5, the context, Jesus or Judas, the Roman soldiers, the Jewish officers carrying torches and weapons have approached. And Jesus asked them, as they're approaching him, he goes to them and says, "Who are you seeking?" And they respond, "Jesus the Nazarene." And then Jesus says in verse 6, "Ego eimi," just simply, "I am." If your Bible has the words "I am he," the "he" is probably in italics. meaning the translator supplied it to help us understand, but Jesus simply answered, I am. The eternal memorial name of God that every Jew knew, that John records Jesus using of himself over and over again throughout his gospel. Jesus takes the very name of God and again applies it to himself. And he has to repeat it twice here to make it clear. And notice what happens to these tough men, these soldiers, these officers carrying weapons, when Jesus declares to them his covenant name, I am. Look at verse 6 again. So when he said to them, I am, they drew back and they fell to the ground. They backed away, fell down in the presence of the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and Jacob. This man that they were about to lead to his death was God himself. And while they sought to lead him to his death, they couldn't even stand in his presence if he didn't let them. These men were not in control here. It was Jesus himself. This I am who upholds all things by the word of his power, who is in control of the muscles of men's legs that allow them to stand, is he who came to die, to make purification for our sins. We were his enemies, but he took upon himself the nature of a man, but without ever relinquishing his own deity, his own sovereignty. And this miraculous union, Jesus lived as a man, but without sin, and he died to bear the price of our sins, of everyone who would believe in his son, who would believe in him as the propitiation for our sins. When we take communion this morning, we remember this Jesus, the great I am, the powerful, almighty, unchanging creator, who humbled himself to die in our place so that we could be reconciled to him. Believer, if there's sin in your life that you haven't confessed this morning, turn from that sin this morning. Seek forgiveness from he who promises to cleanse us from all unrighteousness if we are in Christ. Confess your sin and then remember with us what Christ accomplished on the cross. If you're not a follower of Christ this morning, when the plates come around, we would just ask that you would allow it to pass to the person next to you. But if you're here, we would love to talk to you about what it means to place your faith in the one who was simultaneously God and man, who became sin on our behalf, that we might be reconciled to God and be able to look forward to his return. We'd love to talk with you after the service. We'll have some instruction where you can find someone to talk to. Men, I would ask that you would come serve us. As they pass the trays this morning, again, if you're not a believer, just allow them to pass. And as you prepare your hearts to take communion this morning, we'll take it together. So when you get the cup, hold on to it. And just in a minute, once we're done distributing, we'll actually take that together. So this is just an opportunity for you to take that time right now, prepare your hearts, repent of any known sin, and then prepare as we worship and remember the Lord together.